I'm Austin Meek of Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Laís Loewen. Laís recounts her experiences around the dinner table while growing up in Brazil, and shares how those moments shaped the vision for her local food company, Sabor. But first, let's figure out what's happening in two old buildings on Austin Avenue. Our commercial real estate expert, Greg Gleim, is in this month for What's Happening Here, where he answers listener questions about what's going on in the real estate scene. Greg, I've gotten tons of questions about a building that just went up for sale on Austin Avenue, the 700 block.
Yeah, 701 Austin Avenue. It's probably one of the coolest buildings I've been in downtown for many reasons. Number one, it's a corner location on Austin Avenue. There's not many of those. Obviously, the Hippodrome, the Palladium is on a corner. So it's unique in that characteristic, but three stories plus a basement that goes underneath Austin Avenue. It goes underneath 7th Street, tall ceilings down there, old elevator shaft, a couple different staircases. So I've ran into issues in the past on these developments getting occupancy down in the basement. I think we've got a building here that makes for a perfect speakeasy, or at least has the ability to get an occupancy from the city to finish out and occupy the basement space.
So this is on Austin Avenue at the corner of Austin and 7th. It's catty corner to Cameron Trading Company. So it's really in the heart of all that activity. You mentioned possibly having a speakeasy or some sort of bar concept down on the ground floor. How big is the building, and what types of uses do you think would be best there?
Yeah, the building, it's not real clear as of right now from MCAD and, you know, some quick measurements, but it's around 17,000 square feet.
And it's really long and skinny. It extends
the length. Yeah, it extends the whole block back to the alleyway back there. And so the basement's actually, because it goes underneath Austin Avenue and underneath 7th Street, it's the largest floor, probably around 5,300 feet. And then I think the standard floor is right at about 4,300 feet. So it's got a really cool mezzanine on the entrance. Again, kind of one of the discrepancies in square footages, but you walk in, you've got glass cases on each side. I've had a couple of restaurants in the building right now that were looking at bar top seating or seating for a restaurant that overlooked the corner of 7th and Austin right there. So there's just so many unique characteristics to that building. I think we've had a couple grocery, I guess they're called grocerants, looking at the property. And so I think that's what it's perfect for. What you do with the second and third level is getting creative there. But it's so strategically positioned in the heart of downtown, right next to what Magnolia is getting ready to do. It's a cool building. It's a big building. It's a historic, already designated historic. It's in the TIF, PID zone. It's ripe for someone to come in and develop it. It's not a big project. And so I'm excited to see what happens with it.
And I've read that historically, second floor retail doesn't really work. If you have a second or third floor, that would be used for office or for residential purposes. Is that true? Or do you think that with Austin Avenue being the true commercial hub in Waco, even a second floor retail concept could work there?
Yeah, I think it absolutely could. I mean, it is on the walking path of Waco. It's very walkable. Second story retail and even third story retail. I mean, look at Spice. I mean, it could be something similar to that. It could be something to have multi-level restaurants in there. It's just each floor has tall ceilings. The infrastructure's there. The elevator's there. Stairways are there. It's just the ability is endless with that building. And so it'd be exciting to see someone come in and implement a concept like that.
And quickly before we go, one block past this on the 800 block of Austin, there's another stretcher building that's for sale.
Yeah, so the a lot of people would recognize Hey Sugar Candy and the Adorn Boutique, which have both been there for a couple of years now, and Waco Ale Company just opening up right there at 806 Austin Avenue. Great concept. I think they're doing really well, but I did catch wind that little retail strip right there is going to be on the market this week. So I'm anxious to see where it comes out in price and anxious to see who buys it.
Well, all the benefits that you would have had at that 700 block building, you would also have at the 800 block. So this is, once again, it's the heartbeat of downtown Austin Avenue. You can't beat the location. So Greg Gleim, thank you so much for coming on here and answering those questions.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Austin Hooper is our residential real estate expert here on Downtown Depot. Thank you so much for coming in for another month.
My pleasure.
Rhiannon Sagert of the Waco Tribune Herald wrote an article this last weekend about the China Spring Neighborhood Association that has been mobilized to try to inform some city decisions about the way that this community is growing so rapidly in ways that they can improve the lifestyles of people who live there and still make it attractive for people who might want to move to China Spring. They're going through such tremendous change in China Spring right now. As a realtor, what is your opinion of China Spring as a market for people to live, and what do you think of specifically some of the issues they're having there?
Sure. So, yeah, I think China Spring, this is a great example of the infrastructure not having kept up with the housing boom. It's not just happening in China Spring, but I think that is the clearest example of something like that occurring. And, you know, I know in that article it talks specifically about the roads. And while we did just get finished with a big project over the last year or so of widening the main China Spring Road, China Spring Highway going through there, all of the offshoots off of that are still really just county roads that maybe not too long ago were just gravel roads.
It's really easy to conflate growth with prosperity. You know, you see, oh, there's tons of new home permits and we're going to have lots of new construction. But are the people in China Spring really able to live a prosperous life? There are design issues that are preventing some people from the quality of life that they need. In this article, Michael Larson is the vice president of the China Spring Neighborhood Association, and he has two young kids. He quotes, "We have two kids and we wouldn't let them walk down one of the big streets because it is so unsafe. There's nowhere to exercise. There's no way to get somewhere to exercise, even if there were." We see this design is causing people to be very dependent upon their cars. There's very little mobility for people within the neighborhoods because they don't have anywhere to walk to. You don't have a reason to know your neighbor because you're always driving by at 40 miles an hour rather than having a relationship with them.
Yeah, I think these are important conversations to be having. In this case, I think it's there's going to be some catch-up that has to happen. And I think that it's great that these conversations are happening so that, hey, how can we plan ahead and get ahead of this thing and not just be trying to play catch-up and seeking the community input? Hey, if you want a more walking-friendly community, we need to lay some ground rules for how the future development is going to take place.
And it has been really nice to see that the city has gotten so involved. These neighborhood residents in China Spring said, hey, city, we need more spotlight on our issues here. We want to start an association that goes to the city and discusses our needs. And know that whatever neighborhood you live in the city of Waco, there is either a neighborhood association that is already active, or you can start a neighborhood association. If there are things in your neighborhood, you don't like your sidewalks, you don't like the streetlights, you can go to the city and you can discuss that. But City Councilman Jim Holmes has been very important in leading this conversation.
Absolutely.
And is being a great representative for the folks in China Spring.
And we touched on last month the potential of Floyd Casey being the former Floyd Casey site being developed into some new residential homes. And the RFP for that is officially out now from the city. And I think this is a great example of that conversation happening ahead of time. So getting input from the community of what they want that site and that development to look like. And then the city can inform the developer on how they're going to turn that into a reality.
And we've seen it in the downtown area and also in uptown that having residential mixed with commercial is great.
Absolutely.
Austin Hooper is our residential real estate expert here on Downtown Depot. Thank you so much for coming in again this month.
Thank you.
I'm now joined in studio by Lais Lowen. Lais is the co-owner of Sabor. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
What is your Waco history, Lais?
Well, my husband and I moved here about 3.5 years ago from Dallas. We actually met in East Waco at a discipleship program, and then we lived in Dallas for about a year. And then we're like, it's kind of too big for us. So we just came down to Waco. We didn't know anybody. We didn't know anything in Waco. So we just came on down and we got jobs here and a house within 2 days, and here we are, and we just stayed.
And why Waco?
It's like the right size, like between Dallas and Austin, you know, just right in the middle. And we just saw lots of potential here. I feel like a lot of people see that as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Had you grown up in a city a similar size of Waco? That's why it was comfortable for you? Or what was your upbringing like?
Well, I was born in Brazil, and then we lived in Boston, just outside of Boston, for like 10 years. I don't know why we stayed there so long. It's so cold. So many Brazilians up there. And then moved to North Carolina, and I was there for a couple of years, and then Texas. So never really any other city like Waco. It was always either a lot bigger or a lot smaller, like 20,000 or 500,000.
What do you remember about your time in Brazil?
I actually remember a lot. I was there until I was 8. I remember the people, the culture. I have a lot of family in Brazil, like over 40 cousins. So a lot of family times in Brazil. So, yeah, I remember a lot of the culture really revolves around food and just quality time with friends and family. So
I've always felt as a Texan traveling outside of the state that this place just gets in your blood. Mm-hmm. And even if you leave Texas for a little while, there's always some sort of pull that brings you back here. And I know that Brazil has such a strong culture, and it seems obviously that it's made an imprint on you now that you have a business for Brazilian food. Mm-hmm. But what is unique to you about the Brazilian culture, and what have you taken from that culture and applied to your business here in Waco?
Yeah, I think the thing that when you think about Brazilians, a lot of people relate to the people. And in Portuguese, it's calor do povo. It's like the warmth of the people. Hospitality is huge in Brazil. So much so that I remember growing up, my mom had like pastries and fresh bread at the table. And you never touch that stuff because just in case someone came by, you know, just in case a guest showed up unexpectedly, you had food ready for them. You're like, hey, I anticipated your arrival. Here's the food. So just the hospitality of Brazilians is something that it's in my blood. Like, come in, you know, you open the door. It's like, this is your house. Make yourself at home. And that's something with our business is huge with Sabor. Our saying is come and stay a while. So at the farmer's market, you'll see we have our tent, and then we have like outdoor rug and, you know, plants and picnic tables and sunshade. It's like, hey, we really want to build a relationship and a connection with you. So here, sit down, let's talk. You know, let's get to know each other. Yeah.
Of course, the South is famous for its hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking now, it's reminding me of a conversation that I had a few episodes ago with Devin Lee, who's a mm-hmm. Chinese immigrant. And hospitality, welcoming people into your home, mm-hmm. that was a really important part of his cultural fabric as well. Do you think that there's something about the immigrant experience that makes welcoming others particularly important?
That's actually a really good point. I do think so, because when we came to America, I didn't know English. I didn't. My dad was really the only one that knew how to speak English. So whenever we would walk into, you know, anywhere we really went, we were always the outsider. So I felt that a lot growing up. Even in school, I felt like an outsider. So I think for me, it's really important that my business has a sense of belonging for everyone, because I know what it's like to be on the outside and not feel like I really belong. Yeah.
When you think about bringing inclusion, which is essentially what you're talking about, and integrating that into a business, making mm-hmm. it part of your business principles, are there any tips or tricks that you learned along the way that allowed you to integrate this into your business? Or is this something that, going back to the cultural fabric, it's just such a part of you, it's such a part of the Brazilian culture that you can't help but have it be a part of your business?
I think it's that. I don't know any other way to be able to run my business. We're working with Jess Hannon. She's amazing brand strategist. She's done all of our, everything that you see is all Jess. And one day I just went to her and I was like, I really don't know how to get my heart across. You know, how do I show people like, hey, you're welcome. Like, and she said, you don't have to try, because it's a part of who you are. And your brand is who you are, ladies. It's your heart. So you don't really have to try that hard. It's just be you. So I think it's just something that's ingrained in me, and being a pastor's kid as well, it's, you know, your home is always open. to anyone coming in. So it's definitely something that is deep inside of me that just is an overflow of who I really am.
We have so many people from Central and South America who live in Waco, but obviously Brazil is a bit different because you spoke Portuguese growing mm-hmm. up rather than speaking Spanish. Are there other Brazilians in Waco that I just don't know of? You're the only Brazilian that I think I've certainly had on this show, but I think that I've interacted with. Is there a community here?
I think it's not like the community that I had in Boston where everyone kind of lived within the same city, you know. There's even like a little Brazil in Massachusetts. But here in Waco, it feels like people are kind of spread out. Surprisingly, I've met a lot of Brazilians through Sabor. They'll come up and they're like, oh my goodness, you have Guaraná, which is like a Brazilian soda. And they're like, I can't find that anywhere. And I'm like, you'd be surprised how many Brazilians are here. But they just don't connect. So that's one of the things that we want to do as well, just kind of be like, hey, there are other Brazilians, and be kind of that mutual connection between the different Brazilians here in town.
At what point did you decide to take Sabor from a concept and make it a business? I'm sure that, you know, creating food in some level has been a part of your family's culture and a part of your lifestyle for a long time. But transitioning from a hobby to a profession is a mm-hmm. really big jump. Was there a moment in which you recognized people will pay for this?
It's hard to say because I go back to, like, we wanted community here in Waco really bad. Like, we didn't know anyone. So we just opened up our home and we would just post, you know, be like, hey, come on over this time. Just bring a side dish. And people would just show up to our house. I was like, hey, I haven't seen you in forever, you know, just like different people. I would just post and people would come. And then I realized, like, well, maybe I need to do this like as a business. What really was that point was we were foster parents and our children really needed us to be home, you know, instead of working the 9 to 5. And we said, you know, we went into this so we could be there for our children. So let's do it. So we just decided to do it for our kids, to buy the trailer. I had no idea what I was doing. And you talk about like cooking being a part of, you know, the culture. Let me tell you, I had not really cooked growing up. My mom didn't really teach us cooking growing up.
It kind of skips a generation. Your mother's the great cook, so you don't have to do it.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happened. And I go back to her. I was like, why don't you teach me how to cook? She's like, I just didn't feel like you needed to know. I was like, okay, thanks, Mom. Now I do, because my business is all about cooking.
She wants you to be relying on her a little bit.
It just a little bit. But it reached the point, you know, like with our kids, like, okay, we need to come home. And we just bought the trailer. And I told my husband, I was like, hey, I bought a trailer. I guess we got to do this now. So we just did it. So we just went for it.
Have there been any cross applications between what Jacob and you have learned as foster parents and what you have done with the business so far? Are there traits that you had to cultivate in parenting that have been applied to the business?
It's hard to say, because I think like the heart behind our business is family. That's huge. Especially being foster parents, we've seen how quickly, you know, if a family falls apart and the effects of what that can happen. So one of the things that we want to do is be able to work with different organizations like The Cove and hire different students to, you know, work with Sabor. But as far as like a trait, I think it kind of just kind of flows together, you know, like what you do at home, our life at home and our life with our business, it's the same, you know, the different traits that we have within the business and being parents.
You're hearing from Laís Loewen, co-owner of Sabor, which is bringing Brazilian cuisine here to Texas. Take me through the business. Let's kind of get into the nitty-gritty a little bit. You said mm-hmm. that you've bought a trailer. Mm-hmm. What's the plan? How do you activate this, and how do you get your delicious food in people's bellies?
Yeah, so we bought the trailer, and then we realized that it was smaller than what we needed to, you know, to do what we wanted to do. So then we just upgraded our trailer, and my husband and I are the only ones kind of working on it, renovating it. For now, we're at the farmer's market just with our tent. To be honest, it took us 6 months to get the recipe right for a Brazilian cheese bread. We had to bring like tapioca in from Brazil because it's just so different. So everything we have is going to be naturally gluten-free. No preservatives, nothing like that. So it took us that whole 6 months just to get the recipe right. And I feel like we're finally there to the point that we're like, okay, we can do this. Like, we're able to scale it now. But we're slowly kind of introducing different foods, different items to Waco.
So you had mentioned the soda that's on the menu. Mm-hmm. Cheese bread is there. What else?
Yeah. Right now, we're really known for our barbecue plate. It's rice, beans, vinaigrette salad, and filet mignon skewers. People really like that. And then we're also going to be introducing new things like sliders with the cheese bread and breakfast. Our thing is we want to be able to provide food that if you came into my home, I would cook this for you. Just going back to that home aspect.
What is the vision for Sabor? Where do you want to take this? You're at the farmer's market currently. You're mm-hmm. working on the trailer.
Mm-hmm. So when the trailer's done, we want to be able to pop up around different businesses around town, like Waco Work and Skinny's right there on Columbus, White Elephant, just to be able to support other businesses in town. We want to be able to do that. Hopefully, one day we can have land and we can just have our trailer there where we can set up our tables and, you know, houseplants, sunshades, whatever. And then down the road, long term, is to have an actual brick and mortar location.
What are you able to do now that you might not be able to do with a brick and mortar location? How can you really wring out all of the value of this current stage?
Yeah, I think now with the trailer, I mean, even just at the farmer's market, being able to sit down with people, I mean, you could do that with a brick and mortar too, but just because it's a more relaxed atmosphere, we're able to sit down with folks and just get to know people and kind of explain one-on-one what the food is and take the time. And that's something we never really want to be able, we never want to lose. We don't want to lose that. Like, let's explain the food because it is different food. People are like, what's tapioca? You know, we want to be able to explain that to people.
What's the division of labor between Jacob and you? And how has working together altered your marriage?
So we worked together before at a ministry. We were dean of men and women at a ministry up in Dallas. And we actually loved working together. It was a lot of fun. And then when we came to Waco, we had separate jobs. And we were both like, man, I would love to work together again.
You really miss the person
yes,
the other day. Yes,
yeah. You do. So he has a remodeling business, which I help as much as I can with remodeling, and then I have Sabor, and he helps as much as he can. I mean, he's there helping prep, and he's there on Saturday mornings. He really does the heavy lifting of the business, literal.
I'm sure he's been very helpful in the remodeling of this trailer.
Yes, he has. Yeah.
When did Sabor officially launch at the farmer's market?
In July.
In July. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So what's something that you've learned about yourself in the last 4 months?
Oh, man. That's a hard one. I'm not really.
I know a little introspection on the spot can be scary. But
I
mean, just when you think about it, when you're jumping into taking something from an idea to a reality, from a hobby to a business, you're really putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And you are at the farmer's market downtown in front of the Alico building every single Saturday. And it's a well-trafficked farmer's market. Mm-hmm. People are starting to understand, oh, cool, there's Brazilian food here. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this girl named Laís. You're becoming synonymous in a lot of people's minds with Brazil. People in Waco mm-hmm. have maybe never traveled outside of the country or never eaten at Fogo de Chão. Mm-hmm. You are their connection to the entire country of Brazil. So, what does that mean to you? And what is something that you've learned mm-hmm. in the last few months about yourself that maybe you didn't know before you had gotten into business?
To be honest, I didn't know that I could persevere as well as I have. My husband in the beginning was not very supportive of it. I mean, he was extremely supportive. He even said this. He's like, you could say that I wasn't very supportive. I was like, you always were very supportive. But I think he just didn't see the vision of where it could go. I'm like the visionary. I'm like, let's take this building and, you know, we could renovate it. I can see like down the road. And he's more like the practical guy. So that was something that I was like, no one's going to fight for your dream as hard as you will. I had to keep that in my mind. Although as harsh as that may sound, like if I'm not going to fight for it, who will? So that's something I really had to hold on to. And then also being rejected is something that I had to learn. I was like, wow, okay, this is what rejection feels like when I'm, you know, handing out samples at the farmer's market and people are like, oh, no, thanks. Like,
free, delicious food? Gross.
I know, right? Like, whoa, tapioca, what is that? No, thank you, you know? So I was just like, okay, I just got to let it roll off my back. And I didn't think I was that type of person until I'm out there, like, face-to-face with rejection. Like, okay, cool. Would you like to, you know, just turn around and keep going?
That's been one of the biggest adulting experiences for me, is understanding rejection and recognizing that it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It doesn't mean the pitch was off. That person just wasn't picking up what I was putting down.
Yeah.
And you have to learn how to roll with it.
You do.
I totally echo what you're saying about maybe not feeling supported, where your partner is there. They're there every day, and they're trying to help you in every way they possibly can, but they might not be able to fulfill every single gap that you have in your psyche. But the way that you can get that support filled, the way that support-shaped hole in your heart gets punched, is because people come on Saturday morning. And maybe it wasn't great at home when you were prepping a bunch of cheese bread, but then people show up to the farmer's market and they give you that support that you need. And then you recognize, this is what community is. This is the way that I feel supported, is by having all of these random people from across Waco coming to tell me, Lais, this is special. I want to be here every Saturday tasting what you have to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we already have that. You know, people come out, like, they're like, I budget this into my weekly budget so I can be here and get some cheese bread. And it's really amazing. And my husband's complete 180. You know, he'll work a whole day, and then now he's there in the kitchen and at our commissary, like, working hard right alongside me. So it's been great. And I never thought that, you know, an idea, a desire in my heart could be what it is now. And God only knows where it's going to go. So,
and that's so exciting. I love this enthusiasm that you have. And especially seeing this at the beginning of a business, you know, you're 3-4 months into it. I hope that you will still be this optimistic a year from now, 10 years from now. But it takes people outside of you to make that dream a reality. Like, you have to have the support from the community. And it seems that you're doing the right job. You know, you're doing it the way that needs to be done. You're building the community, you're building a brand, and people want to be around you. I interacted with you very briefly at the Waco Chaw dumpling rolling that Devin Lee hosted a few weeks ago, and you were one of his exhibitors up at the front, I believe. And I could just tell from there was a glow about you. And I was like, man, I got to find out who that girl is. And here we are a few weeks later and you're talking. But you really do have an effervescence about you. And maybe it's being Brazilian. Maybe it's always smelling like delicious cheesy bread. But please take that affirmation and know that you're providing something that Waco wants. I'll get you out of here on this, Lais. What is your message to Waco? What do you want Waco to know about you, about Sabor, about your culture and what you're trying to build?
Well, about Sabor is that, like, I just want people to try it, you know, come and try. Although it's different, although it's, you know, something you've never really had before, like, where's Brazil? I've had that question. You know, it's come try, you know. Like I said, everything we do is based around family and home, and we want people to go back to that with, you know, at our food truck, sit down, come and stay a while. We want people to really feel like they belong and be refreshed.
You're hearing from Lais Loewen of Sabor. Go find them at the farmer's market this and every other Saturday. Lais, thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Lais Loewen, Greg Gleim, Austin Hooper, and you for tuning in to another episode of Downtown Depot here on KWBU. If you want to stay up to date in between episodes, find me on Facebook and Instagram for photos and stories on developments breaking ground in Waco, like the Dave & Buster's coming to the New Quest property at New Road and I-35. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.